The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Tired of the negative news and flash over substance? It's time for Today with Dr. Wendy. Dr. Wendy Patrick is a trial attorney, patriot, and PhD with a passion for people and a penchant for politics. Dr. Wendy brings you the headlines, streamlined news you can use. It's time to be informed, engaged, and entertained. Now, here's your host, Dr. Wendy Patrick.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of Today with Dr. Wendy. I'm Wendy Patrick and my co-host Larry Dersham and I were just exchanging ideas as to what we're going to cook for St. Patrick's Day. We would love to hear from our listeners as to what you plan to make. Now, my co-host Larry Dersham is a pizza fan. Let me say a pizza connoisseur. Larry, are you going to be able to somehow spin this pizza obsession into some St. Patrick's Day theme on Monday?
Yeah, I think I'll go to one of these build-your-own pizza places, and I'm going to add to the pizza corned beef and cabbage if they have that.
Okay, because I know you're going out Sunday night to celebrate St. Patrick's Day, and I always know that somehow you managed to create something special that you've taken home on Monday, too. So you guys got any plans for Sunday night?
Sunday night, we'll probably spend it with my adult kids and the grandkids, and that, you know, keep it pretty simple. Yep. How about you?
Okay. Well, we're going to probably come up with some kind of a theme for St. Patrick's Day on Sunday night. It's kind of nice being able to not have to rush home from work for that. But maybe we'll ask our guest what she's going to do. I hear we have a fantastic guest on the line for the first half. Who is on deck?
Right. We sure do have a great guest. It's Miyu Oda de Hotels serves as the Constituent Affairs Coordinator for San Diego County Supervisor Joel Anderson and is the Finance Director at the San Diego State University Chapter of Turning Point USA. Miyu is going to fill us in about the work of Turning Point USA and tell us about an exciting upcoming event you may want to attend. So welcome to the program, Miyu.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate the introduction. Like you said, I am a part of the San Diego State University Turning Point Hub, and we will be hosting Charlie Kirk at San Diego State Montezuma Hall this upcoming Monday at 6:30 p.m.
Awesome. You know, you are a talented young woman. You are involved in a lot of different things. And we're just curious, what initially drew you into the conservative movement?
Yeah, ever since I was young, my father's political values weighed in a lot on me. But when I had graduated high school in 2020, it was a big election year. And that's when I really started to get involved and learn more about politics and policies. And I naturally just kind of curved myself in with the conservative viewpoints from my father's values, but in addition to the policies that I agree with.
Now, Turning Point USA, 1C3 nonprofit organization, founded in 2012 by Charlie Kirk. The organization's mission is to identify, educate, train, and organize students to promote the principles of fiscal responsibility, free markets, and limited government. Could you tell us a little bit about how the organization is doing this work and about some of Turning Point's success stories?
Yeah, of course. Now, with the San Diego State chapter, we hold events biweekly. For example, we've done a shooting range event to allow others to learn more about protecting their Second Amendment rights, in addition to knowing some additional leadership, values that, are naturally conservative. But just knowing more so about your freedom of speech, your Second Amendment rights. We also have a lot of candidates come out to our campus, just getting to know more about them, In addition, for Black History Month, we actually played the documentary with Clarence Thomas, and it was amazing for the students to get together, to have conversations, and just be able to learn more. And we also collaborate with Leadership Institute a lot. Now, they are, in addition to a nonprofit, but they also promote conservative values and kind of hone in on the younger generation. And we do a lot of workshops with them as well. So students have the opportunity to just learn more, whether they agree with our values or not. They're always learning, and we're always producing that type of learning environment with every event that we have. We do a lot of tabling events, and we do have some speakers coming out other than Charlie Kirk, but we're always trying to strive for just a learning environment for those in our community.
You know, that was a kind of what I was going to ask is, you know, when you talk about the learning environment in our community, we have a different answer today than we would have 20 years ago. You're too young, but Larry and I went through the public school system many, many decades ago. And it was just so different. I mean, even in terms of the curriculum and what you learned in what grade and what would have been deemed inappropriate, you know, what do you see? I'm always trying to be the silver lining here. What do you see as a positive trajectory we may be able to hope for in terms of what we're teaching our precious young people?
Yeah, of course. It's a huge concern, especially now. I feel like the pendulum is swinging a lot, especially with education curriculum. And our goal is to just reach as many students as we can. We do invite a lot of others that are not a part of the conservative movement because we like for them to get to know us, get to understand our values, and come together and find a mutual understanding. For example, with the Charlie Kirk event, we invited every organization, and even though they may not agree with our values or just maybe hesitant, we've had a couple of people from different organizations, like their president and vice presidents, to come out to our events. And I think one of the biggest changes and the biggest impact that we're making is our debates. When we have debates with students, it really allows us to listen to one another and be able to react to those discussions that we have. And I think as a whole, overall, a lot of the audience that we reach has a complete opposite, you know, perspective on politics, but we have a mutual understanding that we can agree to disagree. But I think the most important aspect is that we're listening to one another. I've noticed in politics, you know, if we're on one side of the wing and they're on the other, we tend to not listen to one another. But being able to have that intimate setting where we talk about different policies, how we feel about them, and the reasoning behind why we feel about them has been the most influential part about the learning process at San Diego State University, but in addition to the other campuses.
Now, I've noticed that Turning Point USA seems to focus on, you know, colleges and universities, which is great, but is it open to people that are not in that age group, like older people perhaps that are in the professions now? Or even younger people in high school, perhaps? Do you have that component in Turning Point USA?
Thank you for asking. So we have our target audience are for the younger generation, although we do have a San Diego hub, which essentially allows others of all ages to attend our events. We had Jonathan Emery from, I believe, Virginia. He's running for Senate. And he was able to come to OGs in Mission Valley. And we have a mixed group of people. We do have an older audience that does help us volunteer and conduct outreach in their communities. So we try to bring everyone together. We do host some events just for college students and high school students, but we also have events that are catered to all ages.
And how does Turning Point USA sort of teach our young people, whether it's high school or college, about this idea and perhaps you would say the benefits of limited government?
Yeah, so we try to give examples. For example, you know, with certain policies that have been going on and that have been approved, we like to talk about the things that are in the news currently. So when we go to high schools, when we go to colleges, when we're hosting events, we try to talk about the things that are happening now, have those discussions, and being able to promote, you know, free market, a smaller government, and just try to influence those values. Now, although not everyone may agree, but they also just get to learn more about that. When it comes to the high school students, we do have events and those things are permitted more. So I feel as though we're not limited to what we can say, but we do try to influence them in ways, you know, that are, you know, I guess align with our conservative values. But essentially, our topics are things that are in the news now. So I know a big one's immigration. I know a big one was COVID. And so being able to advocate for those in our community and being able to teach them, you know, this is what's going on. This is how the government is taking control. Do you understand? And they do. And then they start to learn more. And then they just start to be able to understand, you know, right from wrong and the things that the government should be doing and what they shouldn't. That's how we target that particular topic.
Miyu, does Turning Point USA have a religious component to it as well?
Now, technically, we don't. Although we do serve some workshops, we typically, with Leadership Institute, they kind of lean more with the Christianity values. So we did have a recent Christian workshop and how it aligns with politics. So essentially, no, but we do host events with Christianity values that are behind it.
Okay.
You know, if somebody wanted to get involved with your organization, I know they can Google it, they can look at the website. Is there like a real streamlined way they can sort of learn more about what you do and see if it's a good fit for them?
Yeah, of course. So our main use of social media is Instagram and Facebook. We also have newsletters that they can sign up for. But for the easiest and most up-to-date information, if you look up TPUSA at SDSU, you'll be able to find our Facebook and our Instagram. And through there, if they privately message us, for example, if they're interested in getting involved or whatnot, we can add them to the newsletter. But Instagram, TPUSA at SDSU, is the best resource.
You know, just tell us really quickly, because we're at the end of the show, Larry and I were sharing our St. Patrick's Day plans for the weekend. Do you have any?
Yeah, you know, it's going to be a very busy weekend in San Diego, especially. Yes, but I am actually going on a hike in La Jolla, and I'm going to a farmer's market. So I won't be celebrating too much for the holidays, but enjoying myself.
I think exercise is a celebration of life. Thank you so much for joining us. And to our listeners, don't touch that dial. We're going to take a short break, and we're coming right back for more of Today with Dr. Wendy. We will be back in a flash.
News cycle lowlights have no place here. You're listening to the headline highlights on Today with Dr. Wendy on The Answer San Diego.
Since 1991, the nonprofit National Law Center for Children and Families has been fighting to protect children from sexual exploitation. The National Law Center offers the latest investigative training techniques to police, probation officers, and prosecutors on fighting sexual predators and human traffickers. The NLC also offers human trafficking awareness training to members of the public. Schedule a training for your church or organization today by visiting nationallawcenter.org. That's nationallawcenter.org.
It's time for more news you can use. The headlines streamline. It's time for more Today with Dr. Wendy. Now here's your host, Dr. Wendy Patrick.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. Wendy. I'm Wendy Patrick, and my co-host Larry Dersham and I have a great second half of the show for you tonight. Larry, who do we have on the line?
Jason Shepard, founder of Whipkin Social Media, held numerous IT leadership positions in major corporate healthcare before leaving the industry after observing irregularities in COVID testing and government reporting protocols. Jason Shepard then founded Whipkin Social Media in August of 2020. In May of 2021, Jason partnered with Newsmax host Wendy Bell and the Wendy Bell radio show to develop an app to keep her free from censorship. Despite being banned from Apple and Google Play app stores in January of 2021, while being number one on both stores, and after receiving multiple subpoenas by the White House Select Committee on January 6th, Jason has grown Whipkin to over 9 million users. He has since created a TikTok alternative named Realster and a YouTube alternative aptly named Truth Leak. Jason is a staunch defender of the Constitution and freedom of speech. He is an advocate for election integrity and a philanthropist, donating a large percentage of platform profits to victims of child sex trafficking and organizations that prevent such. Welcome to the show, Jason.
Thank you so very much. I appreciate it.
Well, Jason, you have an absolutely amazing resume. And, you know, Larry and I are both involved in the National Law Center for Children and Families. Larry's actually the president. So we are very invested and very impressed by your dedication of some of your profits to organizations that prevent child sex trafficking. So God bless you for that. I have Thank to you. Say, the title of your platform, Truth Leak, is interesting, provocative, and no doubt something that people remember when they hear it. I was just wondering, you know, what led you to leave your IT leadership positions within the healthcare industry and kind of transition into social media as you did?
Well, I'd be happy to tell you about that. I just want to caution your users. Truth Leak right now is down because of the European Union. They are restricting yeah. some things, and we're going through that because of some over there, there's different copyrights. So, but long story short, sorry. I left healthcare IT due to the fact that back in September of 19, and that's very, very important to remember that, you know, September here, my team at second largest health network in the tri-state area where I am in Pennsylvania, Ohio, and West Virginia, we were just given a task for 2,300 primary care physicians to start a new test protocol to where these, we didn't know what the test was for, I think you know what I'm getting at, but, you know, we had this test protocol where we had to set up in the offices for over 2,300 primary care physicians and then also have a protocol to build out to where they could report directly to the county health departments. So we find out roughly around December or January what this test is for. We start to roll the test out, and then all the doctors start calling us directly stating that we're not giving this test because we're testing for any coronavirus, which the body has many. And that's why you had the, you know, asymptomatic mass COVID hysteria because of, you know, the fact these tests were defective. So I went to my superiors and said, I'm not going to, you know, add to the fear mongering here, and I'm not going to add to the pandemonium. And what are we going to do about it? And then I just left. And then that's why I started WMKN, which is it stands for World Must Know Now, in honor of free speech. And if you look at our logo, it's a panic button for the world to sound. So, you know, it's pretty interesting how this went down, but I wouldn't change it for the world.
Wow. Hey, Jason, this week the House passed the Protecting Americans from Foreign Adversary Controlled Application Act, or H.R. 7521. What's your take on Congress's attempt to force TikTok to divest itself from ownership by a company that's ByteDance, that's under the control of the Chinese Communist Party?
Well, so I'm for, you know, freedoms in America. There's no doubt about that. Why I started WMKN and we have free speech there. But, you know, in this case, we really need to know how much damage that TikTok is doing. I mean, it certainly is not even interesting. There's a reason why they will not provide data and on the algorithm here in the United States and let, you know, the Oracle actually down, I believe it's in Texas where they're housed, where they can actually, you know, kind of dictate what is sent to individuals, especially children. So, realistically, though, I believe that TikTok is certainly a national security threat because, you know, they are reporting back to the Chinese Communist Party because, like it or not, the Chinese Communist Party has access to almost every single type of business in their country. And the way I think about it, really, it's common sense. They don't allow that app in their own country. They serve content specifically to children to pretty much dumb them down while they are doing everything they can to strengthen and build up their own culture. So, you know, I'm not a fan of TikTok in any way, shape, or form. That's why we started Realster, which is still in beta testing, because we have parental controls, we have algorithms for age groups, and we're 100% data private. So, but for what they're doing, I think how it's going to end, I don't believe it's going to pass in the Senate. I don't think they'll be able to force a sale of this company. But I think what will happen is they're going to try to censor in any way, shape, or form that they possibly can. And, you know, when it comes to children, I'm okay with that type of censorship. But, you know, when you start crossing the line of constitutional rights and, you know, infringing on people's freedoms, that's problematic.
You know, I was just going to ask you about the legality of all of this is, you know, we don't really get anything accomplished without a long, drawn out process in the legislature. Mm-hmm. But what would that look like if, you know, somebody introduces a bill and it's approved, et cetera? How would that sort of wend its way through the legal system in order to ban TikTok to begin with?
So, you know, I honestly really thought, because WMKN was banned by both app stores based on the fact we just offer free speech. we were blamed for the alleged insurrection as well. So that's why they took us out, which was completely false. So these things can happen. They can make it, you know, look like you've done something. But I really thought that the app stores, Apple and Google Play, would be proactive and take this app out once all this litigation started coming down. But it's just far too profitable for them to keep it in there. And, you know, as far as the litigation aspect, I mean, TikTok is a moneymaker for almost everyone that uses it. You have stay-at-home moms that do, you know, legitimately good things on TikTok that are going to lose their livelihood because, first and foremost, they have nowhere to go. They can't bring their following. So you might even get into some lawsuits from the American people saying, hey, you know, since you just cut my job, legitimately cut my job, you owe me unemployment compensation or something. So there's a lot of different things people don't really think about the way that this could go. But as far as a bill coming down, I mean, if it passes the Senate, then apparently they have 185 days to find a buyer in the United States. But yeah. I think we all know that TikTok is not going to sell. They are not. So legitimately, I mean, if they're deeming it a national security threat and a foreign adversary, I don't know where they would go. I mean, are they going to go military route? I mean, they're not going to certainly start a war over something like this. But if they shut it down on the, you know, a national security level with the NSA, then you know, you're going to, the only way to get it in the United States is to have, you know, a Tor browser, which is the onion router, get it on the dark web and then utilize it. But now they're stating that even if you do that, there's going to be legal penalties. So very interesting to see the way this goes. I mean, it's so easy to get a bill in, but you don't think about the ramifications behind it.
You know, that is so interesting. One of the things I heard, an argument on the other side, and I'm willing to go both ways on this. I'm just trying to understand it. Some people would say, okay, well, if you outlaw TikTok, how about Facebook and Instagram? Would they tend to influence in favor of a certain party for this November election coming up? And that would kind of eliminate TikTok. So perhaps, for example, the conservative voices wouldn't be heard as much. That would be one possible argument. What do you think about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, obviously Wynkin was born just because of the fact conservatives were being censored and the fact that, you know, Facebook was shutting down Save the Children hashtags, what they called domestic terrorists. So, you know, legitimately, there's no doubt that big tech leans pretty far left. To be honest with you, they serve, you know, liberal politicians, certainly more than they do conservatives. But you know, realistically, I think you're still going to get into that because I've never seen, you know, both sides of the equation here, every side of the political aisle, be this desperate. You know, I've never certainly thought in my lifetime I'd see a former president indicted the way he's been. And that just shows the level of desperation that they have. And I really believe they're going to do anything they possibly can to, you know, censor these elections and certainly on the conservative side, because if you think about it, in the Republican primary on Super Tuesday, where pretty much a third of the country is going to go to vote that day. Now, I don't know if someone's going to get their last minute information from their favorite influencer or who they should vote for, things of that nature. But if you recall, on Super Tuesday, YouTube and Facebook went down in a mass outage. So, you know, two very left-leaning companies right on Super Tuesday go down. So you have to wonder what they're going to do. But if it does fall into non-conservative hands, you know, it's certainly going to bolster Facebook and Meta. There's no doubt about that.
That actually was going to be my question is, you know, what the impact would be of the other popular social media sites if there's no more TikTok. I mean, some of the young people are thinking, you know, what would we do? Where would we go without TikTok? But I mean, they existed before TikTok. And, you know, the outages was something I wanted to ask you about. Unfortunately, we're almost out of time, but just really briefly, you know, one could say, oh, everybody was on those sites during that time. And it was there was just too many people and they crashed. But, you know, those kinds of other sites that people would flock to in droves or maybe rely on even more if there were no TikTok, is that really going to make a significant difference, given, as you say, the ideology that prefers one site over another?
Well, I think it's just going to give them way more, power. And, you know, it's kind of funny, but if you think about it, we don't want Chinese spyware in our country, but we'll allow American spyware because Meta is not much better than, I mean, it's true. Meta is not much better than TikTok. It's just, you know, they're not a foreign adversary, at least at this time. But, you know, realistically, it's kind of funny because if you remember, Facebook took over for MySpace because young people loved it. Now young people hate Facebook, so they're not going to want to go back in that regard, but they're not the voters anyways, to be quite honest with you. But it'll be interesting to see where it does go. But, you know, something is waiting in the wings there. It's just right now, there's not any companies out there, you know, besides Facebook. I don't think Musk can afford it either.
No, we'll leave it there. I think that's an interesting, stay tuned at the end of the show. Thank you so much for joining us. And thank you to our listeners for joining us. You've been listening to Today with Dr. Wendy. My co-host Larry Dershowitz and I wish you a happy St. Patrick's Day. Be safe, and we will see you next Saturday night. Until then, have a blessed
week. Thank you for joining us for Today with Dr. Wendy. You can learn more about Dr. Wendy and how to become a guest or sponsor of the show by visiting WendyPatrickPhD.com. That's WendyPatrickPhD.com. Tune in every week at this same time as Dr. Wendy will engage and inspire you with an upbeat viewpoint on the highlights of the day. This has been Today with Dr. Wendy on The Answer San Diego.
Since 1991, the nonprofit National Law Center for Children and Families has been fighting to protect children from sexual exploitation. The National Law Center offers the latest investigative training techniques to police, probation officers, and prosecutors on fighting sexual predators and human traffickers. The NLC also offers human trafficking awareness training to members of the public. Schedule a training for your church or organization today by visiting nationallawcenter.org. That's nationallawcenter.org.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.